you.
Integrity. Yes, sir. Job was full of it. He said, I'm going to hold my integrity if I die. I'm going to keep my integrity. He said, my familiar friends have forgotten me. My kinfolk have failed. They that dwell in, I want you to listen to this. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. Now listen to verse 17. It gets worse. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. His wife wouldn't even have nothing to do with it. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I love are turned against me. You having it rough. Baloney. I get so tired of puny Christians. They don't halfway pray and halfway live right, and they stingy as old Scrooge and don't support God's work with their tithes and offering like they ought to. They always want to poor mouth, murmur, complain. You ain't got nothing to complain about. Makes me sick. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I love, are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Skin of his teeth. Pretty close brush with death, isn't it? Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. There's a man suffering from the loss of everything. You mention anything. I don't care what you mention. He lost it. Lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost his health. What else can you lose? All your friends. They all gone. And he was despairing even of his life. But then his faith comes along and helps him through. Verse 25. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. But he wasn't feeling God was going to heal him. He's going to die. For he says, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He's talking about the resurrection many centuries away from this day, the day in which Job suffered this adversity. And he says, whom I'll see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Praise God. That man suffered anything you can mention. The loss of everything. He didn't have any friends. They'd all forsaken him. And beside that, he had four comforters there that reviled him continually. Accused him of being a hypocrite that had sins covered. And his sins were responsible for the judgment of God upon him. They said, well, why would God do this to a perfect man? Their reasoning was, if you were so perfect, you wouldn't have all this on you. Chapter 1, verse 1, introduces the book of Job and the life of Job. It said, there was in the land of Job, a man named Job, and this man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Why will God do this to a perfect man to make him more perfect? Make him a little more perfect. Praise God. Improve his perfection. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Getting a little more the spots and the wrinkles and everything of the work of the flesh and even the old humanity subdued. Praise God that everything is brought into subjection to God. Even though you're perfect, God can perfect that which still is perfect and make it more perfect. Praise God. Sometimes we get the feeling, and I know I do, I get the feeling about this work here. God, it looks like you've forgotten us. And I tell you, one of the primary complaints I pour out to God, I'll tell you that. Lord, it looks like most of our friends have forgotten us this month. And maybe 2 or 3 months in a row. Hope you and the video audience take note to that. That ain't no joke. Christians are poor credit risks. You'd lose your credit standing, most of you Christians. I ain't just talking to you, I'm looking at. I'm talking to thousands going to hear this on video and audio cassette. I'd hate to trust them. Their credit reference would be zero. They make pledges and you, God, hear me, we got 10. I know we got at least 10,000 that have made pledges and they haven't kept them. But you'd approach one of them, boy, and they'd render more righteous acts that they perform. Yeah, but God holds you accountable for your word. If you pledge to support this work, God ain't going to give you rewards and credit for supporting some other work because somebody come along and got your attention and you said, oh, God understands. I feel now the Spirit's leading me this way. How about when you led you this way? God don't mess me up like that. And he ain't gonna that ain't God messing you up. That's your own old stinking spirit. And most Christians are not led by the Spirit of God, may I say. They're led by impulse and feelings that they get from somewhere else. Forgotten, small, weak. And people can make you feel a sense of inferiority that God don't especially want you to feel. But even the Bible said it's time for the weak to say, I'm strong. It's time for a small one to become a strong nation. We get these feelings of inadequacy, feelings of inferiority, and it's caused because Christians do not live up to the trust that it's seemingly that God puts in them, or at least we put in them. They can pledge, they can vow, they can promise, and it doesn't mean nothing at the will of the West. They'll break their word. Foot. And you think God trusts you when you break your word about a commitment you made with your tithes and offerings or the pledge you made to be a part of something, to support something with your presence? You can't even get your old body locomotion enough to get that body moved around and put it where it ought to be in your ears to hear what they ought to hear. And God trusts you? He don't trust you a lick. And it'll show up sooner or later. It'll show up sooner or later. Being a friend of God is a wonderful privilege, ladies and gentlemen. There's a man in the Bible, Job was a friend of God. Moses, the Bible says, he was such a friend of God. God spake to him face to face, like he did to another man. He lives so close to God. Here's another fella. James, the second chapter. Woo-wee. And the scripture was fulfilled, verse 23, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know what it was? Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? That means faith works, which equals obedience. Wasn't Abraham our father justified by his obedience? That's what it's saying. When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, his obedience, and by his obedience, works, was his faith made perfect? And it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works, obedience that is, a man is justified and not by his faith only. Don't tell me you got a bunch of faith when you don't obey God and keep your word. If you don't keep your word to man, I know you. You won't keep your word to God either. Don't tell me you will. Anybody break his word to men? People make a pledge to this ministry, make a pledge to me as a man of God and a servant of God. into this work of God and break that pledge, they'll break their word to God. Write it down. Put it in a book to be memorialized for the time to come forever. It'll witness against them in the judgment of God. May I say also, ladies and gentlemen, God's not playing. You might.